Welcome to The Journey. This is season three of The Journey, and this season is thinking about who God is. We live in a day that is very volatile right now, and things are happening that there's so many uncertainties, but praise God, we have a God that is rock solid, and He's our strength in these days. I want to talk to you today about a listening God, a listening God. Our family raised support to come to Scotland. This is some 15 years ago now. But we had to step out by faith into that opportunity and get meetings. I was an assistant pastor. I resigned that position, began to travel in the States all over with my family. And then we got down to Alabama, and we were at Green Pond Baptist Church in Alabama. It was our first deputation meeting raising support. I had that one meeting, and then I had a four-week break in our calendar, and we're staying in a mobile caravan. And I remember being very burdened in my heart and just needing to call my dad. And my dad's a pastor, and my dad's very loving. And, you know, it's great to pick up the phone and call dad and just speak to him and know that my earthly father was listening. You know, it's good when you're burdened to have somebody who will listen, that desires to listen to you. I had a young man this past week ask me a great question. He said, "What is prayer to you as a believer? Is it a coincidence? Is it a placebo?" And the answer is no. It's a tangible evidence that God in heaven is listening, and that God in heaven cares about me because He is a listening God. And I want to ask you today, have you ever seen God answer your prayers? And I want to share some personal testimonies, just some things that I've seen God do in my life. God really began to work in my heart about prayer as a college student. And my wife and I were dating back then, and we had just been up at a place called the DP, the dating parlor on campus where we were. And I got back to the dorm, and I called my girlfriend, Katie. And the person that answered the phone said, "Katie can't come to the phone right now." And I heard kind of a wailing sound in the background. And I said, "Is that Katie?" And she said, "Well, yes, it is." And I said, what in the world is the matter?" And she said, "Well, she lost her ring. My wife has this ring that was her birth mom's. Her mom passed away when she's 5 years old, her birth mom. And this ring had a diamond from that, her mom's engagement ring in it. It was a very important ring. It was finals week, and this was a big crisis in my girlfriend's life. Well, I took off running for the DP. It was after hours. The place was closed. And I'm praying and just saying, "Lord, she's going to fail all her tests. There's no way. This is not good. What is happening? And please help me to find it." And I went in, and I went into this huge room in the dark, and praise God, I was able to get in to the building there. And I knelt down by the sofa where we had been sitting, and it was dark in there. And I just went with this, like that, with my hands, and my hand closed on that ring. You know, that was a thrilling thing for me to see God answer prayer. I shared that story with some young men in New York City as I was an assistant pastor there. We had a girl in our youth group that had lost the key. And she was from a family that her mom would have been very upset that she had lost the house key, and she would have gotten a lot of grief for it. And I told her I'd pray about it and that I'd seek to find it. And I told the young men about how God had helped me find things in the past. And I did pray about it and asked God to help me to find that. And I walked out in this large field in a New York City park where we had had a youth activity. And by the grace of God, I walked out. And I was looking at the ground, but God allowed me to walk right to where that key was and pick it up. And again, I was just shouting praises to God. One last story. And this has to do with losing something again. And not my wife's fault, but she had lost her keys at some point while we were traveling. And we couldn't find them. And we only had one set of keys to the truck. And I'd gone down that morning, driven down to look at the water in Superior, Wisconsin. It's a very beautiful area. And I got out of the truck, and I decided to walk over to the water, and behind me I heard the doors of the truck lock. It had a safety mechanism that it would lock itself. Well, my keys were still in the ignition. Well, I prayed, and then I picked up my phone, and I called my wife, and I said, "You've got to find the keys. I am locked out of the truck." And she said, "I have searched everywhere. I have emptied my bag out." I said, "Well, empty your bag out again." And as she emptied it out, God allowed her to find those keys. And again, I was rejoicing in my heart. It wasn't a burden. It was a blessing to see God answer prayer. And so as I told this young man, I said, "You need to taste and see that the Lord is good. It's one thing for somebody else to experience answers to prayer. It's another thing for you yourself to experience answers to prayer. And so some things about answers to prayer. First of all, to really see God answer prayer, you need to get connected to God in a personal way. Connectivity is big in our day. We can friend somebody. We can unfriend somebody. But if you're not friended, you're not connected with that person. You need to be a part of that group. It's the same with God. We need to enter into a relationship with God. The Bible speaks about it in John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." It's one thing to be part of God's creation. It's another thing to be a part of God's family. And for really, for us to see God answer prayer, we need to be a part of his family. If you were my neighbor child, and you came to me and said, can I borrow 5 pounds? I might, out of compassion, say, well, you're a nice kid. Here's 5 pounds to help meet your need. But if you're my child and you come to me and say, Dad, I need 5 pounds, I am obligated as a father to meet that need. And that's the same with God. He is obligated to meet the needs of his children. So to really see God answer prayer, you need to get connected to God. Secondly, to really see God answer prayer, you need to be right with God. Okay? Relationship with God is established at salvation when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. But fellowship is something that has to be maintained. If you're not right with your earthly father, you're not going to feel comfortable going to him and saying, Dad, I've got this need, until that relationship and that fellowship is restored. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If I have a sin in my life, God can't abide sin. Our family got on a plane in Germany, and we were very hungry. It had been a long trip trying to get to the airport on time and get through all the queues and get onto the plane. And my wife had a snack for the kids, and she's getting it out, and it's a cinnamon snack, excuse my voice. As she gets it out, an announcement comes over the plane, and this was what the announcement said. There is to be no cinnamon snacks of any kind on this flight. There's somebody that is very allergic to cinnamon. Well, that person can't abide cinnamon, so cinnamon can't be there. It's the same with God and sin. God can't abide sin. If I want to see God answer my prayers, then I need to go through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the grace of God not harbor any sin in my life and say, as best I know, my life is right with God, so I'm prepared to seek God in prayer. And then to really see God answer prayer, you need to pray right. And I just want to give you 5 things very quickly about praying right. And the first is pray with the right position. Okay, and I'm not speaking about kneeling or standing or that type of position, but the position I'm speaking about is the position of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You might have seen the signs that are around that say, "Try praying." You know, that sign isn't quite right. It ought to just say this, "Pray." Because if somebody's just going to try praying, it's kind of the idea like, maybe it'll work. But when we go to prayer, we have to go in a position of faith that there is a God that is ready to listen to me and that he will hear me when I pray. So pray in the right position, the position of faith. Secondly, pray with the right purpose. It says in James 4, verse 3, "Ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." You know, motive is important when it comes to prayer. We're not to pray, to get revenge upon somebody. We're not to pray to become wealthy. There's this idea out there of the health and wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel, that God wants you to be rich. And if you just give, you're going to get. And this idea of using God. God is not a magic genie in a lamp that we could just rub that lamp and get whatever we desire. God is a loving father that knows today that we have needs and desires to meet our needs. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So pray with the right purpose and then with the right passion. James chapter 5 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." If you want an example of fervency, if you go to a football match or you go to a political rally, you'll see people that are passionate about what they're speaking about. And it's the same with us in prayer, that God desires it to be really something that is intimately connected with our heart. It's like the story of prevailing prayer in the Bible of Jacob and his wrestling with God. The Bible says that as Jacob wrestled with God, God said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And then it says about this man, "For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Jacob had prevailing prayer. And I just say to us as believers, by God's grace, let's be that in prayer. Let's go to God earnestly and passionately, begging God, tenaciously grabbing hold of God, because we're to pray with the right passion. But then as well, pray with right submission. Right submission. We can go boldly to the Lord Jesus, but we're to come as a pauper to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with a heart that is submitted to Him, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 26, "Nevertheless, Jesus prayed, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus, in everything in his life, it was submitted to God. And really, there's power in prayer in the will of God. If we know it's the will of God, we have great confidence as we come and we ask God to do something, because it is the intent of God to do that very thing. And he desires us to request of him to do it. And so we're to pray, not my will, but thy will in every regard. And then pray with right gratitude. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." As you pray, just get ready to see God answer. And when God answers, be ready to very quickly go to God and say, "God, thank you." There's a story in the Bible about 10 lepers that were healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the story says that only one of those took the time to give God glory and to give Jesus Christ praise for what he did. It's a great thing for us to remember. We're asking God about a lot of things. Really desire to see God work in our lives, to go to God and say, "God, thank you. I've seen you answer prayer today, and it has encouraged my faith in you." You know, are you somebody that's praying? God is listening. So many times we're going to need to pray. It might be a crisis situation. This past year, our family was in Pensacola, Florida, as a Category 2 hurricane. Hurricane Sally made landfall there. We're staying in a mobile caravan, and I was sitting in my car, and I was praying. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, if you want us to move out of the mobile caravan to another place, then right now you could have somebody message me to offer me another option." And I'm not making this up. Right then my phone buzzed, and it was the pastor saying, "Brother, it's going to get pretty bad out there tonight, and we've got a place where you could stay if you'd like to stay there." And God led in that way. And I'll tell you this, the trailer was damaged. The property, there were many trees down in that property. It would have been very scary to have remained there. But the delight in my heart of seeing God answer prayer was thrilling. And so I just encourage you, just wait on God. Watch those opportunities to see God answer prayer, because God is a listening God. Let's pray. Father, I praise you for the grace that you give. I just pray for believers that are out there that I need encouragement. Father, that their faith would be strengthened by the ability of God to answer prayer. And Father, there might be somebody today that needs to pray this: "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me." And Father, I pray that they would know in their heart of hearts the thrill of the Spirit of God moving into their hearts, their adoption into the family of God, the forgiveness of their sins, the wrath of God taken away, the inheritance given them in heaven and eternal life. And Father, I just pray by the grace of God, make us a praying people, because we have a listening God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. Lord willing, we'll see you here on Thursday at 9:30.